All right, Shabbos, say good morning. Great daf ahead of us today. Today, every daf is a great daf, but really today is a mamish exceptional daf. So today's daf is Tes Zayin. We are picking up on Tes Vav Amud Beis 15b, and we are picking up 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 lines up from the bottom. We thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Cheshvan, Adam and Yudit Ben Zev, for dedicating the Shi'urim Le'ilui Nishmas, Adam's grandfather, David Ben Shalom, Zichron Levracha, and in honor of Adam's grandmother, Helen Nachman, his parents, Eli and Judy Ben Zev, for serving as incredible role models. May Hashem grant them Arichos Yamim. Shkoyach, thank you to the Ben Zev for the sponsorship. And Abosei, with that, let us begin. So remember again, the Gemara, we ended off yesterday with a principle, or I should say a concept that the Gemara was floating, which is Ein Safek Motzi Midei Vadai. That ultimately, again, the Gemara was suggesting, based on a particular case, by Nida, where a man went out of town, came back home, that we established this principle that a Safek cannot go ahead and change the status of a Vadai. To which the Gemara says, is that true? Vakati Ein Safek Motzi Midei Vadai. Listen to this case. Vatanya. Fascinating case. There was an episode with a shifcha kinanis. Remember again, the nature of a shifcha kinanis, she is a Gentile maidservant, but who is quasi-Jewish. Right? Meaning, again, remember, when you become an eved or a shifcha, you undergo a tvila l'shem gerus. So she is quasi-Jewish, which means that she has to observe the halachos of childbirth. So what happens? So shehitila neifal abar, she apparently miscarried. And she threw the fetus into a pit. Uba koin v'hitzitz bo leida im zachra im nekeva. So we're saying the kohen, who apparently again was a kohen ama aretz, came along and he looked into the pit to see was the fetus male or female, which would then determine whether or not halacha l'maisa, the nature of her yemei tuma and tara. So we'll say, so what's the problem? The problem is if he leaned over the pit and the fetus is there, he was mahil, right? He essentially hovering over the fetus ultimately again allows him to contract tuma. So we'll say, says the Gemara, Uba ma'isef ne'chachamim v'tiru. And this episode came before the Chachamim, and the Chachamim declared him to be tahor. Why? Because we'll say there's weasels and other types of animals that are often found there. And therefore, again, the assumption is they dragged away the fetus. So says the Gemara, "I v'ha'hacha devadei tilua nefel safek garua safek lo garua v'ka'asi safek umotzi midei vadai." But once again, we'll say, here's the problem. The problem is we have a safek and a vadai. The vadai is that there's a fetus in there, right? The safek is that what? That maybe an animal dragged it away. And yet, again, the suffix of the animal is taking away the vadai of the fetus, and that's why the Chachamim are declaring that the Kohen is tar. So what's happening over here? To which the Gemara says, Lo tema hitila labar, ela ima, kamin, top of tazayin, kamin nefel. So says the Gemara, it doesn't literally mean that she definitely threw in a nefel. Rather, I will say there's another suffix over here. The suffix over here is what she gave birth to considered to be a nefel or not? I would say that was the suffix, right? Suffix nefel, kamin nefel. Says the Gemara, that's the suffix over here. So therefore, we have a double case of suffix. She threw something in. Is it considered to be a birth? Is it not considered to be a birth? So vahaleida im zachar im nekeva katani. But 1 second. But that's not what the Brisa says. The Brisa says that the coin is leaning over to figure out whether or not it was a male or a female, which sounds like it was definitely a nefel. Hachi kamar, this is what it means to say. Uba coin v'heitzitzbo im leida im nefelipila im ruachipila. No, no, no. What happened here is as follows. The coin leans over the pit, first of all, to ascertain, was this a nefel or not? We'll say ruach, is, we've seen this before, is just the lashon that the Gemara uses for a non-viable fetus, for something that even doesn't even reach the threshold of being a fetus. So the Kohen goes ahead and first matter of business reaches over to see, halacha l'maisa, is this a nefel or not? And if it turns out that it was a nefel, leida im zachar im nekeva. Then to be able to ascertain, was this a zachar or a nekeva? So therefore again, this is not a case of safek and vadai. Rather again, it's what? it's a case of suffik and suffik. It's a double suffik. Suffik, is it a nafel or not? And suffik, even if it's a nafel, did the chulda or bardalis drag it away? In which case, that's why the chachamim declared this particular individual, this particular kohen, to be tar. Bibaisa, another possibility is, kevan the chulda bardalis mtsuyin sham vadai garur. Bosa, the other possibility is that no, maybe it's a case of a vadai nafel. But even if it's the case of a vadai nefel, this was a place where there was definitely, where chulda and bardalus were often found. And therefore, halacha lemaisa, the vadai presence of a chulda and bardalus makes this a case of vadai and vadai. Vadai nefel, and ultimately again, vadai chulda and bardalus, which dragged it away. Good, so therefore I will say, so remember, we're still back to our original premise, which is, Ein safik motze mide vadai. Therefore, I will say the case that the Gemara suggested before about the individual going out of town and being able to calculate the veses of his wife, and that she became a nida, went to the mikvah, and that therefore again he need not inquire about her status before having relations with her. The Gemara qualified that case of where she was a safek nida, but if she was a vadai nida, then ein achinami, he would actively have to clarify her status. Why? Because ein safek motzei midei vadai. So now we'll say we challenged that principle to say, yes, safek motzei midei vadai. But ultimately, again, each of those challenges has been effectively defeated. Good. Ba'minirim Rav Nachman. So we'll say, ask the following shayla of Rav Nachman. We'll say, a fascinating yesodistic shayla that we are going to see come up a number of times throughout this mesechta. Vestos d'oraisa or d'rabanan. They both say the concept of a veses. So remember, we translate a veses as a regular cycle. A woman, remember, so a veses means that a woman becomes a nida with some degree of regularity. Now, I will say, there's a veses kavua and a veses she'ino kavua. Veses kavua means, and again, we're going to see all of this, not in today's daf, but we'll see later on in the mesechta. Veses kavua means that she has a set veses, whatever that is. We'll see. There's a veses achodesh, a veses hayyamim, whatever the regularity. But I will say, even a woman who has a veses she'ino kavua, even a woman who doesn't have a set cycle, there are certain established patterns of nidos that woman would have to observe as well, such as an ona beinonis every 30 days. So we're asking in general, the concept of vestos, the concept of a woman becoming a nida at a particularly appointed time, does that veses, is that a daraisa or a derabanan? Now, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. This is fascinating. Vestos daraisa derabanan. Here we go. Hadikaimalan, the baya b'dika b'shas vesta. So we'll say, we haven't seen this halacha yet, but we're going to see it, which is that we'll say, if a woman has a veses, at the time of her veses, which means at the time that she expects her period, halacha l'mayim says she has to do a b'dika. That's halacha. She has to do a b'dika. We'll say that's halacha lemaisa. One has to do a bdika b'shas vesta when she's expecting her period. So the shaila is that a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan? What's the nafka? I mean, listen to this, is incredible. So do we say de'im lo badka tmeya va'afilu badka achras manu matzasa tahora d'orech bezman alba v'dam chazay v'nafa lekarka o d'rabbanan hu datsrechu avim lo badka tahora. So we'll say, if you say that vestos are d'oraisa, then what does that mean? That means that halacha l'maisa, we assume the lashon that the Gemara is going to use is chazaka oreach bizman oba. The visitor always comes on time, right? So we'll say if you hold that it's a daraisa, that means we absolutely assume that she bled, which means we'll say that obviously she has an obligation to do a bedika b'shas vesta. But even amazingly enough, let's say she doesn't do a bedika immediately. She does the bedika sometime later on, and it comes out clean, we will still assume that she is Temeya. Because if you hold that vestos are d'oraisa, that we assume that she bled, b'shas vesta, now she's not seeing blood, okay, that for whatever the reason that is, but l'maisa, the chazaka tells us that she bled. So we'll say that's if you hold vestos d'oraisa. If on the other hand you hold d'rabbanan, so we'll say ultimately again, so d'rabbanan should also be obligated to do a bedika, but if she didn't do a bedika at all, or if halacha l'maisa she did a bedika later on and it was clean, then halacha l'maisa we would assume that she's not a nida. So we'll say, so this is the yesodistic shayla. Ba'am name Rav Nachman, vestos d'oraisa d'rabbanan. Amr lehu, midu amr huna chavir mishmei d'rav. So we'll say, huna our friend said in the name of Rav, isha shiyish la veses v'yegiyashas vesta v'lo badka. We'll say if a woman has a veses and the time of her veses came, and she did not go ahead and do a bedika, ulebasof ra'asa, but then she sees blood sometime later on, choshesh levesta, v'choshesh l'ri'iyasa. They will say at that point in time, she has to be choshesh that the blood was already there. She was already bleeding from the time of her veses and from the time of the re'iyah. So we'll see, Rashi points out over here that what does that mean from the time of her veses and the time of her re'iyah? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Choshesh la vesta v'choshesh es re'iyah. So, im zman vesta kodem me'is la'is. If the time of her veses was ultimately, again, more than 24 hours from the re'iyah, mitam inon taros de vesta ve'elach. Dilma bizmano ba. Therefore, we'll say we'll declare her Tameah from the time of her Veses and on, with the Chazaka that she bled at the time of her Veses. V'im me'is la'isha re'iyasa kodim levesta. But I will say, if the me'is la'is of the re'iyah precedes the Veses, ultimately then what? As linan basa re'iyah. Then we'll go after the re'iyah. So we'll say, so the idea is we take the more chamer of the two, the more chamer me'is la'is. So if the me'is la'is of the re'iyah is ultimately backs it up even before the Veses, we'll keep it at the Riyah. But the point over here is, Alma Vestos Doraisa. But I will say the point over here is, leaving aside the Me'is Le'is in this, what you clearly see over here is an explicit halacha in the name of Rav, that a woman who has a Veses, the time of her Veses came, she did not do a Bedika, and then she sees blood, Choshesh Levesta. We assume that halacha Lamaisa, she bled as of the time of her Veses. That tells us that what? Vestos Doraisa. Alma Vestos Doraisa. Ikedam Rihachi. We will say others have a different version of this. Ikedam Rihachi Karale. Time of Durasa. The reason ultimately again that she becomes Tamei is because she saw blood. Halo Rasa, which tells you that what? If she did not see blood, in Choshishin, we would not be Choshish that she's an Ida. Alma Vestos Dirabanan. Therefore, we'll say you see from here from Rav's statement that Vestos are Drabbanon. Okay, so Rav's statement is not too much of a help for us in deciding this halacha. Itmar. So again, you understand like what's riding on this. Rashi's giving us the most dramatic case over here, that literally, again, her time of her Vestos came. She did not do a Bedika. She does a Bedika 12 hours later, let's say the next Ona, for argument's sake. It's clean. If you hold Vestos Doraisa, she's still a Nida. If you hold Vestos Drabbanon, ultimately, again, she's not the Nida. So there's an incredible nafkamina over here. Next, Itmar. Isha, I was still in the same Shiloh. Isha sheyesh la veses v'yigia shas vesta v'la badka. Woman who has a veses and the time of her veses came, and she did not do a badika, ulubasof badka, and then at the end, sometime later on, she does a badika. So we'll say, what's that halacha? Amarav, badko matza umatzasa tmeya, tmeya, tahora, tahora. So Rav says, okay. Her status, she's doing a bedika, so therefore what? Her status will be determined by what they're both saying, by the bedika. If the bedika comes out clean, then she's good. If right, then she's Torah. If the bedika doesn't come out clean, then she is Temeah. Ushmuel or Shmuel says, afilu badko masas tahora nami Temeah. Shmuel says, even if she does the bedika at some later time, and the bedika comes out clean, she's still Temeah. Why? Mipnei, I'll say, here's the Lashon Mipnei, sheoreach bizmano ba. Everyone knows the visitor comes on time, right? So therefore, again, if she has a Veses, we assume she became an Ida. So what are they arguing about? Lema bevestos kamiflegi. Bosei Rav and Shmuel are arguing on Vestos. Dimar saver doraisa, umar saver dirabanan. One opinion holds. I.e. Shmuel holds that Vestos are doraisa, and Rav holds that they're dirabanan. To which the Gemara says, Am Rabbi Zera, no. Dichuli alma Vestos doraisa. Everyone holds that Vestos are Doraisa. So what's happening over here? Kan shebadka atzma kashir veses. Kan shelo badka atzma kashir veses. We'll say, so what are Rav and Shmuel arguing about? So now the Gemara is going to suggest, Rabbi Zera suggests, everyone agrees that Vestos are Doraisa. So now what's going to be the variable? Right? The variable ultimately is what? Is halacha lamaisa, halacha lamaisa. When is she doing the bedika? Look at Rashi for just a moment. Dechuli alma, afilu Rav mode de Vestos daraisa. Even Rav would agree that Vestos are daraisa. V'had dekamer de bematzasa tahora tahora. So why does Rav say that if she checks herself after the Veses and it comes out clean, that she is tahora? What's the case? Kishabadka kishir Veses shal Vesta. Devadai I havadam have a mishkacha. Ushmuel savar afilu hachi tmeya darech bizman oba hovelo batka b'shas vesta mamish. So also listen to this. So everyone holds kontra vizera. Everyone holds vestas daraisa. Why is Rav saying that if she does the bedikah and it comes out clean, that she's tahora? Rav's talking about a case where is she doing the bedikah? Where's she doing the bedikah? Mamish at the time of the vesas. So again, even if you say vestos or daraisa, if you do the bedikah b'shas vesta and it comes out clean, that's pretty clear that halacha l'maisa, she's not a nida. Shmuel argues, and Shmuel says something amazing. Shmuel says that even if she's doing it remosa memorgan, we're going to see when it comes to vestos. So even if one has a vestas kavua, rarely does a vestas kavua mean that she's becoming a nida at a specific moment. Is generally an ona, right? She becomes a nida in the morning of the 30th day, right? In the evening of the... So Rav will say, as long as if she's doing the bedika at the time of the veses and it comes out clean, that's incontrovertible proof that Allah Almighty says she's not a nida. Shmuel will say that still you can never know the precise moment that the nidus starts. So maybe again she bled earlier in the period of time in the ona, and he missed it, and therefore the bedika is coming out clean now. But lamaisa again, she's still tmeya. So we'll say it's a very chumradik shita of Shmuel. Shmuel is essentially saying that vestos daraisa tells you she's bleeding. She's bleeding. Whether you see it or not, ultimately, again, she's bleeding. So the Gemara says, "V'kanch labat katzma kashir vestas." Rashi says, "Had the kamar la'el vestas daraisa time af utmeafi l'rab b'shlabat katzma kashir vestas." So we'll say, so ultimately, again, even Rav would agree that halacha l'maisa what? Even Rav would agree that if she's checking herself afterwards, shelo b'shas vesta, then even if that bedikah cloth comes out clean, she's still going to be tamea. So we'll say, according to what we're holding right now, Rabbi Zera is suggesting that everyone holds vestos daraisa. Everyone holds vestos. So we'll say, so now, within vestos daraisa, there is a fascinating machlokes. What happens if she does a bedikah in the time of the vestas and it comes out clean? Rav will say, tahora. Tahora, it's clear. Even vestos, it's still clear. Shmuel says, no, maybe she missed the moment that she was bleeding, right? She did bleed, she didn't catch it. And ultimately, again, now it's coming out clean. But the fact that it's coming out clean doesn't change the fact that she's already a nida. So the Gemara Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar, bevestos kufayu kamif legid. Rav Nachman says, no. The Machlokis Rabbi Shmuel, as we said before, is mamish in vestos. Demar savar vestos doraisa, umar savar vestos drabanon. One opinion holds that, right? So again, Rav will hold that vestos are daraisa. I'm sorry, Shmuel will hold that vestos are daraisa. Rav will hold that vestos are derabanan. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Sheshes kitanoi. Rav Sheshes says, in fact, this is a machlokes tanoi. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Temea Nida, Rabbi Yeshua Omer Tibadek. So we'll say they're talking about a case over here where a woman has a vesas. The vesas arrives. So Rabbi Eliezer says, she's Temea Nida. Now we'll say Rabbi Eliezer's upping the game a little bit over here. And what does he say? He says there's not even a need for a bedika. Again, about a bedika, vestos daraisa, and therefore she is temeya as soon as the vestas come. Rabbi Yeshua says, tibadik, she should do a bedika. She should do a bedika, Rashi says. Now, the truth is, I should say it differently. Rabbi Eliezer is saying that if the vestas came and she didn't do a bedika, she is still temeya. Rabbi Yeshua says, tibadik. Rashi says, tibadik. It's right across. You know, Rashi, la'acher vesta, matzasa tmeya tmeya, mishas vesta, tahora, tahora. Rabbi Yeshua says, let her do a bedika even after the vesas. If the bedika is clean, then she's tahora. If the bedika is not good, then ultimately, again, she will be tmeya retroactively to the time of the vesas. So, I'll say, you see, it's a machlokes tanoim. Bahani tanoi, kani tanoi. And I'll say, these tanoim are like the other tanoim. What do the other tanoim say? So, the Gemara says, this sign, your Rabbi Meir, Omer, Tmeya nida, v'chachamim omrim tibadik. We'll say, same idea. A woman has a vesas, the vesas passes by without a bedika. What should she do? Rabbi Meir says, she's tmeya. Chazaka oreach bizman oba. Chachamim say tibadik, vestos derabanan. Amar Abaye, af anan nami tanino. We also learned this. This nan, Rabbi Meir omer, im haisa b'machva. We've seen this case already a number of times. A woman is in hiding out of fear. Even if the time of her vesas comes and she did not do a bedika, she is tahora. Why? So the Gemara says, Shecharada misalekes es hadamim. Ultimately, again, because we assume that the fear removes her blood, right? We know external stimuli can produce physiological changes, and therefore, halacha lemaisa, we assume that because she was in such a state of fear, she did not bleed. So, taima diga charada. So the only reason over here why halacha lemaisa we're not going to declare her as a nida is because there is the element of this fear. Haleka charada, where there is no fear, tamea, we would assume that she's tamei. What do you see from here? Alma vestos doraisa. Ultimately, again, what do you see from here? That vestos are doraisa. Lema hani tanoi baha pligi. So we'll say that the following time, we're also having the same machlokas. Disanya, haro adam machmas maka, afila besoch yemeini dasa. So we'll say this is actually a fascinating case that we're going to spend a lot of time on all of these cases, but this is really quite fascinating. A woman sees dam maka during the days of her nida. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Haro adam machmas maka, sheish lemea. So we'll say, so just to understand the metzias over here, that the metzias as the Gemara's understanding it, is as follows. A woman is bleeding from internal bleeding. She's damaka, nothing to do with nidus. She has some type of internal injury that is causing her to bleed. So what happens? So the Gemara says, so haro adam machmas maka afilu besochi mei nidasa. Rashi says, afilu besochi mei nidasa. Kilomar, biyamim shi limuda liros, tainu shas onas o shas vesta. A woman sees damaka during the time of her veses. So what's talacha? So the Gemara says, Tahora di Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, she's Tahora. Why is she Tahora? Because that's what's called dam maka. That's called blood of an injury. That's not called dam nida. So okay. That's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says, Im yesh la veses, choshesh la vesta. Rabbi says, well, one second. If she has a veses, then halacha lemaisa, if she has a veses kavua, then we're going to assume that the blood is in fact dam nida. That's what we're going to assume. So we'll say, what are they arguing about? So the Gemara says, my love, v'hak miflagi. Are they not arguing about the following concept? The marsa revestos doraisa, umarsa revestos terabonon. So we'll say, are they not arguing about the following concept? One opinion holds that vestos are doraisa. And everybody will say, if you hold vestos are doraisa, even if I know that she has a maka hamotzia dam, even if she has a wound that is bleeding, nevertheless, chazaka oreach bizmano ba, and therefore I assume that there's dam nida, either dam nida mixed in, or other dam nida came out before or after. On the other hand, if you hold vestos dirabanon, therefore I have every right to say, although she is bleeding, that blood is from an internal injury, and not dam nida. To which the Gemara says, Amar Ravina lo. Ravina says, no, that's not what they're arguing about. Rather, dechuli alma vestos dirabanon. Everyone agrees, vestos are dirabanan. So we'll say, so what are the argument over here? This is actually quite fascinating. Bahacha b'mekar mikomo tame kamiflagi. Now we'll say what they're arguing about is, what is the status of non-uterine blood which passes through the uterus? So we'll say, the mitzias over here, as they're understanding it, ultimately is what? Again, this was based on their understanding. So ultimately, again, if you have dam maka, that somehow goes through the uterus, but is not uterine blood. Does the fact that blood passes through the uterus ultimately make it dam nida or not? So we'll say, it happens, it's a fascinating shayla. It's a fascinating, from an intellectual perspective, what the question is what classifies something as uterine blood? Does it have to be blood which originates in the uterus, or could it be blood which, quote unquote, somehow passes through? Look at Rashi. The komotame, the chol dam habad derech shem, afilu eno dam nida, have avatuma, litame adam tumas erev, v'imnaga betaras temeim, v'ka'omer le'rebi, u'lahakel dvar abavachi kamar, im yesh laveses kilomerim ato omer letama, mipnei vesta, choshesh lavesta, kilomer yesh latame tumas shiva, v'ol incha, so therefore, again, what you're really arguing about over here is as follows. What the Gemara suggests is as follows. Everyone agrees vestos are dirabanan. That's the Gemara suggesting over here. What are they arguing about over here, Bosei? What's the status of blood which is non-uterine in origin, but ultimately passes through the uterus? That's makar mekamal tamei kamifligi. Rav Shimon Gamliel savar, isha tahora vidam tamei, dikaasi derech makar. Rav Shimon Gamliel will say the woman herself is tahora, but ultimately, again, the blood is tamei, because ultimately it comes through the makar. Va'amar le'rebi, ichayashta levesta, Isha nami tmeya v'ilo chayash levesta mekar mekamotarhu. To which ultimately, again, Rebbe says, no, that's not the shayla. The shayla is, if you're choshesh for the veses, then einachinami, this will be damnida. If you're not choshesh for the veses, then there's nothing to talk about, because blood which passes through the uterine, uterus, which is non-nida blood, does not make a woman tame tomas nida. So what happens to be that makarma kamo tame, we're going to see, where is that? Gemara? It says later on chav days. So we'll see it in just a few days from now. But that concept of makarma kamo tame is going to be incredible, because understand the ramifications of that, Rabosai. You could also have uterine blood that is damaka, right? This happens all the time. Woman has some type of procedure or something else, she bleeds. She bleeds. It's not her normal nida cycle, but ultimately, again, it's uterine blood. So do you hold makar makom otame, anything that comes out of the uterus, or passes through the uterus for that matter, is dam nida? Or do we say, no, it's only the dam of a normative menstrual cycle that ultimately, again, becomes dam nida? So we'll say, that's not our machlokis over here. That's not our machlokis over here. Remember, again, our machlokis was vestos drabanan or doraisa. So we'll say, so how do we paskin? So interestingly enough, the Rambam paskins that vestos drabanan. That's how the Rambam paskins. And Rabbi said that seems to play out in much of Hilchos Nida as we see it. Again, when we get into the sugyas ultimately of vestos and the different types of vestos, we will see the application of that principle. But halacha lemaisa, we pass it to Rambam, vestos are drabanan. Beautiful. Says Beishamai, says the Mishnah, Bosei. Beishamai Omrim, Bosei, another incredible sugya. Beishamai Omrim, Tzricha Beis Edim al Kol Tashmish Vitashmish. So Bosei, the Mishnah goes into a very interesting case. What happens if over the course of the night, the couple engages in multiple acts of Tashmish? So the Shaila is, what's the obligation for Bedikos? So we'll say, remember again, keep doing this because it's very important to contextualize everything. Remember, the only time that Bedikos are ever coming up in the realm of Bia is where? Is where? Taras. Always with a woman, right? If a woman is not asik in Taras, so we'll say there's no Bedikos before or after any time. So remember again, focusing on a woman who's already dealing with Taras. So what we've established halacha lemaisa by Taras essentially is, once you're doing the mandated Bedikos of Taras, once in the morning, once in the evening, Chazal also added onto that the Bedikos before, well, either before and after, before or after, just after, all the variations. So therefore, Bishamai says, Tzricha beiz edim al kol tashmish v'tashmish. So Bishamai says that a woman is obligated to do a bedika before and after every single act of relations. Rashi says, Shnei edim, chadoshim al kol tashmish, echa lefana ve'echa la'acharav, ulamachar te'ayibah. Now here Rashi says something dramatically amazing, which I don't know that we appreciated up until this point. She's going to do a bedika before, so Beis Shammai says, essentially, bedika before and after every act of tashmish. We'll say, when are you looking at these bedikos? When are you looking at these bedikos? So I think we always assumed, right, then. So Rashi says, no, she's not looking at them until the next morning, right? Because Rebbe says, understand, say that, how could that be? How could that be? What if she's bleeding? Rebbe says, remember again, halacha lemaisa, the only point of these bedikos is not vis-a-vis her husband, right? The ramification of these bedikos is for Taurus. So the truth is, now at night, those bedikos actually, that's not the impact of the bedikos. The shayla is going to be tomorrow morning, if she sees dam on them, what that ultimately does for the taras. But halacha lemaisa, she's doing these bedikos, putting them away somewhere, and she'll look at it tomorrow in the morning. So that's Beis Shammai. You need a bedika before and after every act of tashmish. So the Gemara says, so tzrichim beis edim al kol tashmish tashmish. Oh, to shamish la'or haner. So we'll say this is incredible. Or what she could do is, we'll say, she could go, shamish la'or haner, v'tivdok la'achar tashmish, eichekan chabo. Or we'll say the possibility is as follows. Let's say, again, she only has one bedika cloth. So if she only has one bedika cloth, so remember again, we spoke about before, can you reuse bedika cloths? And the answer is yes, if they're clean. Although we saw that Tznuin, right, did not reuse bedika cloth; they used separate bedika. But again, halacha lemaisa, she only has one. So Beis Shammai will say you have to do a bedika before and after every tashmish. But if she only has one bedika cloth, then inachinami, she'll have to check it la'or haner. She'll have to check it ultimately again by the light. So in that case, again, they could have bia ultimately again la'or haner. We'll discuss this because we discussed about not doing this. Aranair, not by Aranair, but she could do. They could teshamish Aranair. They could have candlelight there. That way, she could look at the bedika. Beisila on Beisila says dayu b'shnei edim kalalayla. Beisila says no. All you need is one aid, one bedika at the beginning of the night, one bedika at the end of the night. But you need not do separate bedikos before and after every act of tashmish. Rashi says dayu b'shnei edim kalalayla. Echad lifnei tashmish rishon, ve'echad la'achar tashmish acharon. V'yafa agav demishameshes v'lo yada ichazoi beni ubeni, bein lebeisham, bein lebeisilo, lo ichbas lan, delo hutzichu livdok ela lechomer tara. So we'll say again, Rashi reinforces this. Remember, even those who are mandating these bedikos are not really relevant vis-a-vis your husband. They're relevant ultimately again for Taras. That's why she could do them at night, not look at them until the next morning. That's why Beis Hillel is fine with one before the first bia and one after the last bia. Says the Gemara on Beis Hillel. Incredible Gemara. What happened to my bookmark? Says the Gemara. Tarabanam. Afa pi sha'amru hamishamish mitasali arhaner harizim aguna. So we'll say, remember again, the Brice is picking up on the Mishnah. So the Mishnah said, according to Beis Shammai, you require a bedika before and after every bedika of the night. And if you don't have, right, if you don't have a separate bedika cloth, so Beis Shammai says you can reuse the bedika cloth, you just have to what? You could have bia la'or haner. This way she could look at the bedika cloth each time to make sure that it's still clean. So the Gemara says, even though we said that if one goes on a Mishamish mitasa la'or haner, hare zemaguna, if one goes ahead and has relations in a room that is illuminated, hari ze maguna. We'll say maguna means it's disgusting. Now, we'll see what that means. Why is that disgusting? We'll discuss in just a little bit. So even though we'll say this is not a preferable way to conduct one's intimate life, b'shame omrim tzricha shnei edim al kol tashmish o tashmish, al kol tashmish o tishamish la'or haner. So, nevertheless, we'll say, so interestingly enough, even though relations la'or haner is certainly frowned upon, significantly frowned upon, nevertheless, Beis Shammai says, if you only have one set, if you only have one bedika cloth, that's going to be what you're going to have to do. Right? Then ultimately, again, a person will go ahead and have bia la'or haner and look at the bedika cloth in between or after each bedika. Beis Shammai says, no, daya b'shnei edim kalalayla. Beis Hillel says, no, you don't need a bedika before and after every bia, just one before the first and one after the last. Tanya, Amru lahem Beis Shammai leBeis Hillel. So Beis Shammai said to Beis Hillel, L'divreichem. So Beis Shammai is very upset that Beis Hillel is okay with just two bedikas, one before and one after. How could that be? Beis Shammai, so Beis Shammai said to Beis Hillel, L'divreichem. Leichosh Shema Tira Tipas Dam Kichardel Babia Rishona, the Techapena Shechvazer Babia Shnia. Maybe, why aren't you choshish about it? Maybe she's going to see some blood. There's going to be a drop of blood. And what's going to happen? Because of the repeated bios, so what's going to happen? The shechvazera, the semen is going to cover up any blood that's there. So whereas Beis Shammai is saying to Beis Hillel that ultimately, again, of course you have to check after every bio, because if not, even if there is some blood that's there, it could be covered up by the zera. Amalei Beis Hillel. So Beis Hillel says back to Beis Shammai, Af ledivreichem lechush, at sharoch b'soch hapeh, shema nimok v'ho lechlo. So we'll say, so essentially, Beis Hillel says back to Beis Shammai, if that's what you're concerned for, that concern exists even by one bia. There's Beis Hillel saying to Beis Shammai, it's not an illegitimate concern. But obviously, we're not concerned for that. Because if that was a true halachic concern, then bia should always be aser. Because there's always the possibility that any act of bia, the zera covers up a droplet of blood. So halach lamaisa, the fact that we're not choshish for that after one bia tells you that I'm not choshish for that at all. Amru lahem, to which Beis Shammai responds to Beis Hillel, Lefi she'eino domen nimok pamachos lenimok shtei pamim. To which Beis Shammai says back to Beis Hillel, you can't compare the potential covering up of the blood after one bia versus two bios. Obviously, there's twice as much zera there. So Beis Shammai says, we're not concerned about that after one bia, but we are concerned about that after multiple bia. So therefore, again, this is important because this seems to be the point of contention. Beis Shammai requires a bedikah before and after every bia because they are concerned that if we don't do that, there may be blood there, but the blood ultimately, again, will be covered up by the zera. Beis Hillel says, we're not choshesh for that. Because if you would be choshesh for that, that chashash should exist even after one bia. To which Beis Shammai responds, maybe, but the Maaseh, there's a greater probability of that potentially happening after multiple bios. Good. Tanya Rabbi Yoshua. Ro'ani yestir Rabbi Shammai. So let's listen to this. It's incredible Gemara. So Rabbi Yoshua says, I hear Beis Shammai's position. In other words, I hold like Beis Shammai. Namely, that a woman should have to do a badika before and after every bia. So let's say, this is incredible. Amrlo Talmidav. So his Talmidim got a little bit upset at this psak. Right? Talmidim said, Rebbe, kama harachta alinu. Rebbe, why are you being so machmir? Right? Kama harachta alinu means, why have you made things so difficult for us? Rashi says, hechmarta, why are you being so machmir? Amar lahem, he says to them, mutav, sha'arich aleichem ba'olam hazeh, kedei shi'arichu yimechem li'olam haba. I will say, this is such a beautiful statement. Right? It's a little bit of a play on words. It is better that I should be machmir with you in this world, right? Ha'arachta, which means to be machmir, so that you should enjoy arichos yamim in olam haba. So to which the Rebbe is saying, the Rebbe Shlomo is saying to his Talmidim, and now, again, I'm not trying to make your life more difficult. I'm trying to safeguard you from any type of isurim. On Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera says, what do you see from here? Medivrei Kulam, I will say, this is an incredible statement. It appears that both according to Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, we learn, Nilmad, Baal Nefesh lo yivol v'yishne. Now, I will say, now this is quite interesting, that we learn from here that a Baal Nefesh, Rashi says, a chassid, lo yivol v'yishne, should not have repeated acts of bia without bedikos in between. Rashi says, lo yivol v'yishne, below bedika bein sayim, so we'll say, listen to this. This is an incredible statement. So Rabbi Zera says like this. Rabbi Zera says, here's what we know. The machlokas di Mishnah and Beis Hillel is, that's what? The frequency of how you have to do the bedikos. Right? Beis Hillel says one in the beginning, one in the end. Beis Shammai says before and after every act of bia. But what is everybody agreeing on? What is everybody agreeing on? That what? You have to do bedikos. Which tells you that what? That there's the possibility of bleeding. Possibility of bleeding. Which tells me that, and then again, at the end of the day, the more bios that occur, the more the possibility, like Beis Shammai said, is that halacha lemaisa, if there's a droplet of blood, it become obscured by or covered up by the zera. So Rabbi Zera wants to take away from here that a baal nefesh, a chassid, shouldn't engage in multiple acts of bia with his wife, apparently without bedikos in between. Rava says, no. Baal v'shona. This machlok is actually very interesting. Rava just says two words. Baal v'shona. No, you can have a repeated act of bia. Right? That's it. Like he doesn't address it. I will say now. I'll also tell you. Why does he say that? Because kitanya hi letaris. So I will say. Remember again. Rava says, please, let's keep in mind the context over here. Don't say stuff like Baal Nefesh lo yivol v'yishne. Don't make it sound like Rabbi said that this is a din in the halachos of intimacy. This isn't a din in the halachos of intimacy. Rabbi said this is a din in taras. And this is a chumrah in taras. A rabbinic chumrah in taras. So don't let a rabbinic chumrah in taras shape intimate etiquette between a husband and wife. So Rabbi says if they want to engage in multiple acts of bia in one night, that's definitely their prerogative. And there's no midos chasidos not to do so. Because the bedikas, even Beis Shammai's chumrdika bedikas, are what Rabbi say for Tara's purposes. Rabbi say, what is the greatest raya to that? Rabbi say, it's a startling statement in Rashi that I don't think we ever appreciated until now. What is she doing with the bedikas? What is she doing with them? She's waiting until tomorrow morning. Remember yesterday's daf, we had the case of a woman takes a bedikah cloth, hinicha b'kufsa, she puts it in a box. You ever wonder, like, first of all, where do you get like a bedikah cloth box? Why is she putting bedikah cloths in a box? Now you can begin to understand the context. When could that be happening? That could be happening at night when she's with her husband. She does the bedikah, she puts in rashi. She's not looking at it till tomorrow morning. If this was a din in Hilchos Nida, then what? She should be looking at it right now. And I will say, leaving aside if we look at bedikos at night, leaving all of that aside, but the fact that she's doing a bedika, it's there. We're not even glancing at it until the next morning. This is a din in taras. That supports this. When is this true? The taras. So we'll say ultimately again, these bedikos, halacha lemaisa again are a din in taras. But for a husband, she is permitted. So we'll say, so again, that's what we already saw, halacha lemaisa, that there's no such thing as doing bedikos ultimately again just for the sake of intimacy. Halacha lemaisa, this is a din in taras. And therefore, again, Rava says, bolel v'shona. If the couple wants to have repeated acts of bia in the course of one night, that is absolutely their prerogative. So the Gemara goes right to Medrash Amurim. When is this son? I will say, this is a throwback to yesterday's Mishnah. So we'll say, so this is talking about the case where ultimately, again, the husband comes back from traveling, and ultimately, again, he has the ability to assume that his wife has a cheskas tara. So when is this so? Shinicha b'cheskas tara. So we'll say, when is this so? That if he comes home, he could assume that she has a cheskas tara. That's when he left, and she had a cheskas tara. Avalinicha b'cheskas tmeya. But we'll say, if when he left the house, she was a nida. She remains in that chazak until what? Until she goes ahead and says, I am tahar. But kabeid, we'll listen to this incredible case. But kabeid va'avad. We'll say, what happens if halacha l'maaseh she did a bedika and she lost the bedika cloth? We're going to see this halacha in terms of hilchos nida, because this is a case that occurs. Right, frequently, actually. Right now, we're not talking about by Hilchos Nida. We're talking about over here, ultimately, again, in the context of Taras. But kabeid va'avad asur lishamish achet tivdok. Ultimately, again, she cannot go ahead and engage in bia until she does another bedika. Maskev Rabbi Ila. Rabbi Ila says, I don't understand what that means. Ilu isa milo mishamsha va'afa gav dlo yada. We'll say, remember again, we just said before, how do these bedikos work? She does a bedika. But say, what does she do with the bedika? What does she do with it? She puts it away. Until when? Until tomorrow morning. So I don't understand. Even if she did a bedika and she had it, the bedika has no ramifications until the next morning. So why should the absence of the bedika prevent her from bia? Hashta nami tishamish. Ultimately, again, therefore, she should be able to engage in bia with her husband. Amrei Rava, zu mochicha kayim, vizu ein mochicha kayim. Rava says very simply, this one has a bedika cloth that is in existence, albeit we're not going to look at it until the next morning. This one does not. Rashi says, Zumochicha kayim, hariha eid lifanenu, ulamachar tirabo, o mahani lataros, tichatschor aban lashamish peidim mishum tarosu, vegam im yimsa dam baosa shalifne tashmish, tavichatos, kaparasa. So we'll say, so ultimately again, at the end of the day, as much as you don't have to look to the bedika cloth until tomorrow, it's there. Masha inkin, if it's lost, she needs to produce some bedika, even if we're not going to look at it till tomorrow. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So now the Gemara goes back and discusses some of what we'll call intimacy etiquette. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Asra la adam l'sheishamish mitasa bayom. A person is not permitted to engage in bia by day. So Amar Rav Hamnuna Mikra. We'll say, where's the pasuk? How do I know that? So the Gemara says, quoting the pasuk from Iov, Yovad yom ivaleid bo, v'halayla amar hora geber. So we'll say, listen to this. Literally translated, it means, let the day that I was born, right, be lost, and at night, amar hora geber. At night, there will be conception. So we'll say, so the Gemara says, Yovad yom ivaleid, halayla amar hora geber, layla nitan lehirayon, v'lo yom lo nitan lehirayon. So we'll say, the drush that the Gemara is making over here is that what? Pregnancy could occur at night. Pregnancy should not occur by day. Which the Gemara is understanding to mean ultimately what? That halacha l'maisa, relations should take place at night, not by day. Reish Lakish on Rehacha. Reish Lakish says, no, it comes from here. Bozet derachav yamos. That ultimately, again, he who literally, bozet derachav yamos means literally he who makes his ways despicable should die. What does this have to do with bia by day? Rashi says, Bozo drachav tashmish kimo derech gever ba'ama. Tamashamish bayom bali debi zayon. Shema yira ba davar maguna v'tiskana alav. So we'll say, listen to this. This is actually incredible. We'll say, what's the... So everyone's agreeing that you shouldn't engage in relations by day. We'll say, what's the logic over here? Really, we'll say, by day really means in a fully lit room. We'll say, what's the issue? It's such an incredible idea. What are Chazal concerned about? So Chazal are concerned that a husband is going to potentially see something unattractive in his wife. Right? Meaning, there's no person that doesn't have some type of physical flaw. So the concern over here is that if it's fully lit, right, fully illuminated, that the husband is going to see something in his wife, something about his wife, that he's going to find unattractive and that is going to ruin the intimacy for the couple. Therefore, Chazal says, so this is very important because really, when they say that relations are prohibited by day, it really means relations are prohibited in a fully lit room. So we already saw before, the Gemara alluded to it, we'll see it later on as well, that for example, if the couple wants to have relations by day, ma'afil betaliso, the Gemara says, make the room dark. If you make the room dark, then ultimately, again, one is permitted to engage in relations by day. But it's an incredible sensitivity. It's also an incredible testament to sometimes the shallowness of people, right? That's kind of the way we operate. So the mice, again, even a husband who loves his wife very much, if he sees something unattractive about her, ultimately, again, that can negatively impact their intimacy. Reish Lakish haikrad Rabbi Yochanan my darish bay. So what does Rabbi Yochanan do? Sorry, what does Reish Lakish do with Rabbi Yochanan's pasuk? So remember, Reish Lakish quotes the pasuk. It was changed, right? From fine. What does Reish Lakish do with Rabbi Yochanan's pasuk? So the Gemara says, "Mibayle lechididar Shabi Chanina bar Papa, didar Shabi Chanina bar Papa." Rabbi, listen to this. A beautiful Gemara. Oh, so remember again, Rabbi Yochanan's pasuk. Rabbi say was. Yovad yom ivaleid bo, v'halayla amar hora gever. Let the day that I was born be lost, right? Let the day that I was born, I will say, this is Eov, right? Eov is cursing his very existence. So let the day that I was born be like stricken, and ultimately again, layla hora gever. V'halayla amar hora gever. And the night says, let the person conceive. So Rabbi Yochanan is darshaning, conception, i.e. bia, takes place at night. Reish Lakish brings down a different pasuk. What does Reish Lakish do with Rabbi Yochanan's pasuk? Listen to this. We'll say it's incredible. What does he do with it? He does the following. Osa malach hamamuna ala hirayon laila shmo. The malach who is in charge of conception, his name is Laila, or its name is Laila. So remember again, this is based on this pasuk. Yovad yom ivalei bo v'halayla amar hora gever. So Reish Lakish is quoting this Gemara that says the malach who is in charge of conception, its name is Laila. And what does the malach do? No tel tipu ma midlef ne'akadosh baruch hu. The malach brings the drop, which is going to be the fetus, brings it before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We'll say, beautiful Gemara, va'omer lefan of ribono shel olam, tipa zu mati alea. What is this child going to be? Gibor ochala, stronger, weak. Chacham ol tipesh, wise or foolish. Ashira oni, rich or poor. V'ilu rasha o tzadik lo ka'amar. Rav Osei, there's one question that the Malach Laila does not ask, which is, will the baby be, will the person be a tzaddik or a rasha? Why? Rav Osei, everything is in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, except for my giras shan shene emar, the ato yisra ma'ashem al-kecha shomi imach ki'im li'yira. So we'll say everything is in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you're rich or poor, tall or short, smart or wise, good looking or ugly, everything is in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, except if you're a tzaddik or a rasha. That is up to you. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael when he says, V'yata Yisrael, Masha Elokecha Shomach. The only thing that God asks of you is to be a righteous person, because your personal righteousness, so we'll say, is the only thing you control in life. Everything else is up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All right, we'll have to stop over here with Rabbi Yochanan. We'll stop with Rabbi Yochanan. We'll pick up with Yiras Hashem with this tomorrow. We'll say the shir is tomorrow afternoon. And Yiras Hashem, we give the shir. What time did we say? I think it's 3:45 tomorrow afternoon. So we'll say bench quickly. Right, you know, we'll say, I just want to give you coming attractions. Tomorrow is an absolutely jaw-dropping, astounding daf. You're not going to get a nap anyway. Let's be honest. There's no napping, nothing. No one's going to let you go to sleep. All right, Shabbos, to be honest, it's either you're going to be helping to clear the table or you can play the daf yomi card. Right? You can say, sorry, I got a bench and go. What can I do? Torah calls. I'll record the parshas Bada Mir Hashem right afterwards. The beginning.